Imagine living under siege, where gunfire is constant, where the streets of your town and every town are empty of pedestrians. The only moving vehicles are police or military as they weave through countless hulks of burned out passenger cars. Trains and buses have ceased to run. The few non-government transports that roll are cars and SUVs jerry-rigged with primitive armor and welded steel plating and Kevlar. Civilian vehicles are to be destroyed on sight, as they are assumed to be operated either by resistance fighters or criminal gangs, both of whom government has branded domestic terrorists. Supermarkets are barren ruins. After a year of hyperinflation, cash is worthless. The new currency is gold, medical supplies, and ammunition. This is the ambiance of a nation coughing its final death rattle. A superpower turned pathetic parable as the rest of the globe staggers and shudders through the convulsions of its collapse. It's a nightmare dystopia of violence, scarcity, terror, and famine. A place where no one is free, and only the very brave dare set foot outside their fortified homes. This is Civil War 2.0.
Larry,
get into bed now.
That clip you just heard was from a bonus episode I recorded in November of 2019, almost exactly 1 year ago. You can hear it in its entirety at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. To be honest, my predictions from then are beginning to worry me. Here in America, on Election Day, it's tension and conflict and violence fueled by politics. Last night, some more of the city of Portland was destroyed by those people that Joe Biden says are not real but just an idea. And dozens of those ideas, dressed in their usual black pajamas and backpacks and helmets, set to smashing and burning to very curious targets. First, Portland State University, a bastion of political correctness, groupthink, and free speech suppression. It is a Marxist indoctrination center. Basically a cradle, nursery, and community for Antifa, which is just an idea. Their other target? Starbucks, a corporation that's the caffeinating equivalent of Google and Twitter, CNN and the WAPO. A while back, you may recall, Starbucks leftist billionaire CEO commanded his battalions of baristas to incite political conversations with customers with every cup they served.
Here's your overpriced dishwater-flavored coffee and some non-dairy creamer. And what do you think of critical race theory?
Besides those Molotov-throwing ideas, a couple of other news items this morning gave me pause. And that was two guys predicting civil war. Were they right-wing militia guys armed to the teeth in camo and pickup trucks? No, they were not. They were two billionaire investment gurus. And even more interestingly, it seems these two Wall Street kingpins are on opposite sides of the political fence. The more famous is Ray Dalio. He's worth something like $20 billion. Laughably, lately Ray thinks that Capitalism needs to be fixed. You have to wonder how many billions Ray had put aside before he decided the system was broken. Anyway, here's Ray.
If you study history and you see what civil wars can be like, and you realize that you could have a civil war, don't take it for granted that you don't.
The other guy is named Jeffrey Gundlach. He's also a top-tier investor, although he's worth a mere $2 billion. And Mr. Gundlach seems to be right-wing. And according to interviews on MarketWatch, he says he can see the country splitting into two countries and that by 2027, there will be a revolution. Fascinating, huh? Could they be right? Perhaps the smarter question is, how could they be wrong? Which brings us closer to the pivotal question in this episode. What is smart? Moose, official guard dog of the Teiknoshi Dojo, from whence this show originates, is pretty damn smart. He has an extensive vocabulary, greater than some people. He never does anything that's detrimental to Moose. He doesn't drink or smoke or overeat. When he's tired, he sleeps. When he's not, he chases a ball around and stays fit. That puts Moose ahead of the vast majority of humanity. And he's managed to convince several adults, myself included, to feed him and care for him and love him. He's so smart, he knows that love is not unconditional. And so he will put himself in harm's way anytime he thinks we, or the perimeter, is threatened. Very smart. A lot of people calibrate smart by net worth or academic credentials. Those are faulty metrics. People can be adept at making money, yet their lives are a train wreck. And plenty of guys with advanced degrees from Ivy League schools are dismal failures. So maybe the better question is not what is smart, but what is stupid? Now we get in the fun zone. Stupid people doing stupid shit. And sometimes we all do stupid shit, don't we? When I was about 7 or 8, the big drink was this chocolate powder called Nestle's Quick. They still make it. You put it in milk, stir it up, and presto, chocolate milk. Tasted pretty good, but I thought, why the hell should I dilute this stuff with milk? I'm going to have some straight from the can and get a blast of unadulterated, iron-fortified, chocolatey goodness. So I waited until I was alone, pried the cap off the can, and plunged in a serving spoon and scooped out a heaping helping of that brown powder. I could barely get my jaws open wide enough to accommodate it, and I didn't want to spill a single grain of the stuff. I got the whole mound in my mouth, and then, I'm not sure what happened. I coughed or began to sneeze. Some surprise, involuntary respiratory event ensued, and probably half of that mountain of fine powder was sucked deep into my lungs. I ran around the house wondering if I was going to die. I had read about Pompeii and how thousands had perished from inhaling volcanic ash, which was pretty much the same consistency as Nestle's Quick. I could not breathe, not even a little. I picked up the phone to dial 911. What good would that do? When you can't breathe, you can't speak. Then my guardian angel must have Heimlicked me or something, because I coughed. And a big glob of moist Nestle's Quick stuck to the kitchen wall and slowly slid to the floor. I coughed again and didn't stop coughing for about an hour. For months, I tasted Nestle's Quick if I sneezed or even exerted myself. That was pretty fucking stupid. There's just no end to the entertainment value of stupid people. Show business used to know that and celebrate them, from Laurel and Hardy to The Three Stooges to Dumb and Dumber. And what was that TV show, America's Dumbest Criminals? Ran for several years in the late 90s. Could they reboot a show with that title today? No, because no one is stupid anymore. In fact, stupid has become a bad word, an offensive word.
In a prow prow.
My kid was admonished in grammar school for using the word stupid. Teacher said it was
not nice.
When I made some noise about that, I was told the word was considered offensive and was not a, quote, preferred word, unquote. What the fuck is a preferred word? I think it's a wonderful word, but it looks as if they're banning stupid. Ban is a word stupid people love to use. Anything they fear or don't approve of or consider dangerous or cannot understand, they must ban. What's become extra fascinating is that in America, stupidity is rewarded. Remember the person that sued McDonald's and won because the coffee was too hot? I saw an epic story of stupidity about a guy in Florida. He visited one of those wild animal zoos that weasels call refuges or sanctuaries. Don't you love that? If you cage or fence a wild animal, that's a fucking zoo. Here's a report from Microsoft News, not a site I frequent very often, and this is how they ran it. Quote, a Florida man was mauled by a black panther, a leopard with excessive black pigments, during a $150 full contact experience at a backyard enclosure near Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Unquote. Let's deconstruct that a bit. First of all, why do they have to define a black panther, a leopard with excessive black pigments? We know what a black panther looks like, MSN. They also don't need to tell us twice in the same sentence that the story happened in Florida. But that's journos today. They go on to name the guy. Dwight Turner's injuries from the attack were so bad that his scalp was hanging from his head and his right ear was torn in half, his attorney said. Ah, attorneys. I've known a lot of attorneys. Some were very smart and good guys, guys you want in the trenches with you. But after mankind is wiped from the face of this planet by some engine of doom, the aliens who write our final history will note that attorneys were, more often than not, champions of the stupid. Which kind of dovetails with that America's Dumbest Criminal show, doesn't it? I gotta take a brief detour here and go off on the term criminal mastermind. Most criminals are fucking imbeciles. When they succeed and elude capture, it's seldom because of their cunning. It's due to luck or police ineptitude. My favorite psycho killer, Charles Manson, was imbued by the press with demonic levels of craftiness. He was actually a nitwit, other than his formidable talents of throwing bullshit and finding and exploiting people who were even more stupid than he. With those abilities, he'd have made a great politician, huh? When Petite Charlie was captured, he was hiding in a cabinet under a sink. Some cop noticed a hunk of hair trapped in the door, and boom, another criminal mastermind was toast. But back to the Panther story. Did plaintiff Dwight Turner not get a full contact experience with that panther? The panther took his scalp, half an ear. The only way it might have been more full contact is if the cat had fucked him and given him a friendship bracelet. So what's his problem? Why is he suing? There used to be this pretty cool magazine back when magazines were a thing. It was called Esquire, and at its zenith it had regular features by world-class writers. I'm talking Tennessee Williams and Tom Wolfe and John Updike, Nora Ephron, that caliber of scribe, and every winter they had this kick-ass section called the Dubious Achievement Awards. Of course, the internet ripped them off and renamed them the Darwin Awards. But the Dubious Achievement Awards were just magnificent. Like the guy who took care of his toothache by shooting out the offending molar with a .22 caliber pistol. He also shot away most of his lower jaw. Or the other guy who figured he could relieve the pressure of his migraines by drilling a couple of holes in his skull with a 3/8-inch Makita. However, he bled out before he could finish the third hole. Shit like that. It was a wonderful celebration of the stupid, or at least stupid acts and choices. Stupid people do have certain traits they all seem to share. One of them I like to call magical thinking. Like believing that because dangerous wild animals, lions, tigers, bears, panthers, are depicted as friendly, fun, and protective companions in Disney movies, well, those animals must therefore be friendly, fun, and protective. Idiots believe that somehow, through their personal magnetism, they will form a connection, a bond with the animal, and they'll be good, good pals. There was a very funny documentary about a guy who had that magical thinking, and the object of his affections were grizzly bears. He convinced his girlfriend to move with him to the Alaskan tundra so he could bond with the bears. He shot a ton of video. Here's a clip from an early encounter with a bear.
Wow. It's okay. You're the boss. Nice job. Wow. Nice job. I kind of think he was over 10 feet high, don't you? Ooh, he's a big bear. He's a big bear. A very big bear. Wow. Anyway, he's over here rub-a-dub-dubbing. It's a big bear!
Ooh, it really did seem like they were pals, didn't it? Not just pals, BFFs. Until one day, Mr. Bear looked at the grizzly man and thought in his walnut-sized bear brain, hey, that guy looks like food. There's some controversy over whether that audio is authentic. It seems the director deleted that segment from the original film, but I saw the original when it was released, and I'm positive I heard the girlfriend screaming at him to play dead, to which he replied, I am. It's not working. But soon he didn't have to play dead. And he did get a full contact experience. In fact, he got so close to that bear, he became part of the bear. When the rangers arrived the next day, all they found was one of Grizzly Man's arms and his watch. Another aspect of magical thinking is what has fueled communism around the globe. That somehow, everything can be free. Free food, housing, medical care, education, even a generous salary for sitting on your ass all day just thinking magically. And the commie wordsmiths, always great at smokescreen verbiage, they have a camo name for it. UBI, Universal Basic Income. That doesn't sound anything at all like money stolen from others who actually work and given to morons so they can sit on their asses and think magic thoughts. UBI. That's another important component of stupidity. Intellectual lassitude. Just too fucking lazy to try to understand words and abbreviations and acronyms. Usually before calamity and self-destruction, nations tend to degenerate. It's an old pattern. Greece, Rome, and so on. Just before the U.S. was knocked sideways by the 9/11 attacks, the biggest story was whether Britney Spears had had a boob job. Just before the China virus scamdemic was hatched, America was enthralled by that Tiger King show on Netflix. The pattern holds up, doesn't it? And now here we are in this fucking dystopia, which, back in the halcyon days, pre-Tiger King, was unimaginable. I have another prediction for you. Any second now, some fuckball who claims to be a writer or a journo will write that after COVID-19, America lost its innocence. Smooth brain journalists said that after the Kennedy assassination, America lost its innocence. but they never mentioned the assassinations of Lincoln, Garfield, and McKinley. How many times can a nation lose its innocence? America, the perpetual virgin with a self-healing hymen. Some of those same imbeciles used the same stupid phrase when Charlie Manson's crew proved that hippies could be murderers too. As if up until the moment Susan Atkins was plunging a blade into Sharon Tate, everyone in a tie-dye t-shirt with a flower in their hair was a modern-day Jesus. When Susan had a baby, Charlie told her to name it Zazozosi Zadfrak Glutz. And she did. Was she stupid? There's also a lingering myth that stupid people are generally nice people. Not true. There are some very, very nasty idiots out there. And here we are at the election. And the dire predictions are flying like gulls chasing a fishing boat. Los Angeles and many other major cities are boarded up, anticipating riots, which lying douchebag journos and morons insist on calling civil unrest. And then, after fires and looting and injuries and maybe some deaths, they'll say it was mostly peaceful. And the stupid will gobble those lies like the bear ate the grizzly man. The point is, the average person isn't one IQ point smarter now than they were 5,000 years ago. Technology does not increase intelligence. It increases information. Big difference. And wisdom, well, that cannot be taught or learned. One either has it or doesn't, or collects it the hard way. I hope when we meet next Wednesday, this nation is not in flames and rubble. I really do. Maybe I should amend part of my earlier statement. For 240 years, America chose leaders without merchants having to board up their stores and cops having to get into riot gear and all of us having to live on high fucking alert. So while nobody's gotten any smarter, it appears that some have gotten a lot more stupid. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page for more comment and commentary, as well as a selection of 280 other episodes, all there for your listening pleasure. Click a subscribe button, Apple, Google, whatever you prefer. It costs nothing, and that way you never miss an episode. There is a new bonus episode, my interview with the most feared man in podcasting, the infamous Carl, host of the show Who Are These Podcasts? In his weekly show, Carl roasts the worst podcasts out there. It's a ton of fun. In our interview, we get beyond the shows and into the hot zone of doxing, death threats, and what happens when co-hosts lose their shit. It's available right now at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Along with that other show with my frighteningly accurate prognostications. Write to me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show in the search bar and you will find us. Until next Wednesday, be smart and take no shit.